Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yom. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now at Mishnah Gimel, the first half of Mishnah Gimel, in Masachet Sot on the first parak, and that is on Daf Vav Amud Aleph in the middle of the Amud. Ve'elu asurot milachol bitruma. The following are women who become banned from eating truma if their husbands are kohanim. If she says, and we're not sure yet when this happens, but the Gemara will discuss it, if she says to her husband, indeed, I have violated our relationship, or witnesses come to that effect, or if a woman just says, I'm not drinking, later on in the third parak, we'll deal with the nuances of these, or if the husband refuses to give her the water to drink, or if on the way from the Beit Din to Yerushalayim, the husband had relations with her. All right, Rav Amram tells a story. He says, "Hamilta Amar Lan Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet told us an idea, a ruling. Vahana la einin lan einin mi'anitin, and he gave us eyes for our Mishnah, meaning he gave support for our Mishnah. What was his idea? Sota sheshla edim dinatayam. If a sota has witnesses to the effect, to the fact of the betrayal, somewhere else in the world." The water doesn't work. In other words, the water only works if there's nobody alive currently who knows what really happened. My Tama, what's his textual source? He's reading that pasuk not the way that we read it earlier, which is to say, if she's really nitma and there's only one, then we believe him and she doesn't drink. But rather to say the process works if she's hidden. If she was in seclusion, really she nitma, but nobody knows about it. Taleka diyadaba. Fafuki hadaika diyadaba. Here there's somebody around who knows about it. Yed yeshba, as it were, and therefore the parsha doesn't start. But we don't know about it, so therefore we give her the water and have everything happen, but the water will not work because there's a witness somewhere. And he showed us proof from our Mishnah. Now, parenthetically, and we'll get to this a little bit later on, this, of course, brings up a very big problem, which is that if a woman is indeed innocent and drinks and nothing happens to her, people will say, yeah, there's a witness somewhere, and that's why it didn't happen. And by the way, that's the sort of thing that for the rest of her life could hang over her, because we could say the witness just, was overseas and not coming back. Now, what was his proof to this idea from our Mishnah? The second one of our five on the list was that Edim came to the effect that she's Tmeah. To Atu Edim Emat, I mentioned we're going to discuss when these Edim came. When did they come? If these witnesses came before she drank Zonahi, then we have clear proof that she has had an affair. There's no question. It's a no-brainer that she's not going to eat Truma. It must be that it was after she drank and witnesses came. So if you accept the principle that the waters will not work if there's a witness somewhere, Shapir, then I understand very well what happened. She drank, nothing happened, witnesses came forward, and now we understand why nothing happened, because there's witnesses that were away. But if you think that the water works, even if there's witnesses around, that should prove her lack of being affected, should prove to us that these witnesses who have currently come forward are lying witnesses, are false witnesses. So Amar Rav Yosef, that's Rav Sheshet's ruling that was reported by Rav Amram. Rav Yosef said back to Rav Amram, Liolamei malacha mayim bodkim ota. He said, really, we should understand that the water does work. In any case, V'ha'emer zchut olala. You know what happened here? The woman drank. The witnesses come. We accept the witnesses, even though the woman had nothing happen to her. And we say that the reason is because she had a zchut. This is something we'll deal with in the third parak, that if a woman has a particular merit, and we're not exactly clear what the merit is, and the Gemara discusses zchut to Torah, zchut to mitzvot. It's a long sugi about mitzvah megana, mitzvah matzlah. But she has some sort of a merit for meritorious deed or deeds that she's done. In that case, she will not be affected, at least not immediately. Her punishment could be pushed off for a while. However, in that Mishnah, Rebbe says that she is mitnavna. Even if she has a schut, she gets sickly, she doesn't get better, she never has a kid, and then ultimately she dies of a similar kind of a dysentery or something affecting the intestines. Now, but my kamipagi, so what's the machlok between Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshet? But mitnavna de Rebbe, how to apply this rule of mitnavna, of sickliness, of getting sickly, of Rebbe's. That non Rebbe Omer Schut Tolab Mayim Amarim. Rebbe says, I agree with you that a schut will work, that she won't explode immediately. Venio let it, but she can't have kids. She won't have kids. Ve'ena Meshabachat, she doesn't get physically any stronger. Alaminavim Olechat, she gets progressively weaker, a degenerative disease. So if she made Tabiot Tamita, eventually she dies of something similar to what the Sota would have been. Now, Rav Sheshet Savar, Rav Sheshet holds, Bein the Rebbe, Bein the Rabbanon, Havi Mitnavna. He says, everybody agrees. The Rabbanon agree with Rebbe about Mitnavna. And therefore, what happens? If this woman drinks and nothing happens to her, she's fine, she's running marathons, she's having kids, then witnesses come. The only reason we would accept these witnesses is because we would say the water didn't work because of a technicality that there are witnesses around, not because she's innocent. If she's innocent, then witnesses are liars. Rav Yosef, so the Rebbe of Mitnavna, the Rabbanon of Mitnavna. Rav Yosef maintains that Rebbe was the only one who held of this Mitnavna. The Rabbanon said, no, if you have a schut, you're perfectly healthy and you're fine, which means that if witnesses come afterwards and testify, and we act based on that, that doesn't mean that their existence prevented the water from working. Something else might have prevented the water from working, such as schut. Okay. Meitiv Rav Shimon Bar Ashi, he challenges this. From the Mishnah in Perek Gimel Mishnah Hey, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ein schut tolab mayim amarim. He says, I don't buy the whole schut idea. Why? If so, then madhe'ata, etamayim bifnei kol anashim hashotot, you are going to degrade the water in the presence of the women who drink. And by the way, the proper women, the innocent women who drank, and I mentioned this earlier as a problem, are now going to be subject to slander. People are going to say, yeah, they were tmeot, they did some nice thing, gave some charity, whatever it is, that's why they had schut, and that's why they didn't die. So therefore, if Shimon says, I don't buy the whole schut thing, either the water works, or if she's innocent, the water doesn't work, and zel. If Rav Sheshet's halacha were correct that the existence of Edim elsewhere would prevent the water from working, the same problem is that if the existence of witnesses somewhere keep the water from working, then a proper innocent woman is wrongly accused, she drinks the water, she's fine, and everybody's going to say, yeah, because there's a witness somewhere. So Reb Shimon's concern is not going to accomplish much if we allow for Reb Sheshet's rule. So the answer is Reb Shimon Kamart. Your Rav Amram answers back. You're asking within the context of Reb Shimon's ruling. Reb Shimon minischud lo tali edim nami lo talu. He said, I agree with you. Reb Shimon would say nothing can get in the way of the water working if she's really guilty, not schut and not the existence of Edim. And Rav Sheshet's statement was within the context of the Rabbanan, who say there is a concept of schut. Now, Meitiv Rav. Rav challenged Rav Sheshet's ruling as follows. The Mishnah later on says that in the second parak, that the following are women whose minachot are burnt, meaning they brought the mincha, it was already offered, and then something happened and it could not continue to be offered, it's burnt on the deshen. What's that? Ta'omeret tmeyani, if after the mincha is offered, she said, I'm guilty, I'm not going to drink. Shabala edim shitmeya, and then there's a longer list, but the second one is the one that we find relevant to us, which is if edim come to the effect that she really did violate the marriage. Now, de'atu edim eimat, when did these edim come? Ilem mekamedich tiktush, if it's before the flour went into the basket and she was mekadesh it, typical chulin, then it should go chulin. It was never kadosh. Alevato de kadosh, it must be that it was after you already put the mincha and the flour into the basket and were mekadesh it. So, iamat bishtamayim bod kimota, this only makes sense if the water was really going to be working. That means that this woman was inherently and in some reality sense somebody who was supposed to bring the korban and drink the water, in spite of the fact that there are edim around. Which means her original hektesh was a correct hektesh. What happened is witnesses came and subverted the process, or corrected the process. That's why we take the mincha and we burn it. But if you think the existence of witnesses prevents the water from working, that should retroactively demonstrate that the original hektesh of the mincha was a mistake, because this is a woman who really never should have been going into the process, not the water, and therefore not the mincha, not any of the sota process, because there are witnesses which would prevent the water from working. Remember, the mincha is only brought as a vehicle for the water working. The question is, which comes first? That's a machloka. We'll see later on. But it's a vehicle for the water. And therefore, if their water is not in her cards, as it were, then the mincha isn't either. And that means retroactively we should understand that the hektish of the mincha was a mistake. So Rav Yehuda Midiskrata, so he gives an answer, which is, kigon shezinta be'azara. Maybe we're talking about a woman who there in the azara had her affair. In other words, she was brought and she was truly innocent, but then she had the affair, which means that she really is guilty. And therefore her hektesh of the mincha really was correct. The chikadosh mikar shaper kadosh. Right, that the original hektesh was really correct, because at that point she really was innocent, and the water really should have been proper for her. And that's why. Rav Shashayas, a technical question of Halapirche Kura Malavinota, but we have Kohanim who are escorting her, she's never alone. So the answer is into Bircha Kuna Atzman. So somehow got one of them alone. She had to go to the bathroom. They don't protect her every second. They allow her to go to the bathroom. And there she found some man and had an affair with him. These are all obviously extremely difficult circumstances to imagine. So Rav Papa has a different take. Rav Papa Amar Le'olam Ken Amrim Mikara. Go back to the original thing. And you think that since, if we accept Rav Sheshet's ruling, which is that if there are 80 anywhere in the world, then the water won't work. Let's accept that for a minute. And her mincha really should have been retroactively demonstrated to be nothing. And then it should go out the chulin. Papa says, you're right. And the answer is, midrabanan. Midrabanan, we don't allow it to go to chulin. Why? Xera shema yomru motzin mikle sharet l'chol. Because people will see it. What do they see? You put something in a kli sharet, and the circumstances change, and suddenly you're baking it at home. That we don't want people to make a mistake about, so we don't allow it. Now, that means that we are going to enforce that anytime something goes forward into a kli sharet, it can never go backwards, even if it was done mistakenly. So Meitav Rav Mari, he challenges that notion. Nitma minchata. And we have a Mishnah that says if her mincha became tameh, ad shelo kitcha bekli, if it's before it was mekadesh it, harei kachol menachot v'tipadeh, it's like any other mincha that became tameh beforehand, it was never kadosh, and therefore you redeem it, because it was a value hektesh, but it wasn't inherently not kudushat haguf, you redeem it. Mishnah kitcha bekli, but if you already mekadesh the flower in a kli, kachol menachot v'tisareif, it's like any other mincha that became tameh, you have to burn it outside or on the deshet. Now, Kadesha Komets, while you speak Lakriva Achemetu Achemetahi, let's say they took the Komets, the little bit, and the Kohen took the little bit and put it on had not yet put it on the Mizbeach, but had put it into his fingers, and before that happened, the husband died, or the woman died, and again, it's a chatat, that's not going to go anywhere. Hareko Chomen Achot, it's sorry if we have to burn it up. Now, Kareva Komets, while you speak Lachos Shirayim Achemetu Achemetahi, let's say they brought the Komets, and the Kohen didn't eat the Shirayim. The Kohen, after all, it's a Korban Mincha, eats it. Let's say he didn't eat it, and in the meantime, one of the couple died. It's still eaten. After all, it only came to solve a Sofik. If she died, he died, the suffix over, means there's nothing now to determine, because it's irrelevant. Now, the Tosefta continues. Bola Edim Shitmeya, if Edim came, this is our question, that she's Tmeya, min chatani srefet. Watch this. Nimtsu'e de hazomim. Let's say those witnesses turn out to be lying, conspirational witnesses. Min chata chulin. Then the mincha now goes the chulin, and we say she's tahora, and you know, we see that they're lying. Her mincha's chulin, which means, and that the whole thing is brought for this purpose, for this line, which is we're willing to take a mincha out of a kli sharet and put it back into a kli chol, and we're not concerned. People are going to say, aha, I see you could take a mincha out of a kli sharet and put it into a kli chol. So we don't have that concern. So the answer is, Edim Zomin, come on, you're challenging me from Edim Zomin? And Zomin, call Eitle. Everybody knows about Edim Zomin. When Edim Zomin happens, everybody talks about it, everybody understands about it, etc. And it's a famous case. And they say, of course, we understand why that mincha that was brought based on Edim, or based on testimony that was corroborated by Edim, now is going to be reversed. Right? Now, Taina Kavatid Rav Sheshet. At the end of this sugya, we say that we have a brayta that supports Rav Sheshet's ruling that if there are Edim anywhere, then the mayim don't work. But Volomitameh, but not for his same reason. His argument is based on Eid Einba. We don't like that because we learned Eid Einba totally differently, as we saw in the beginning of the Masachet. But rather on the word that's at the end of the parsha that says, if she indeed is Tahara, then she nikta avnizera avzera, she's cleansed and she has kids, etc. What's ut tahorahi? Tahorah velo sheish la'edim medinat hayam. Meaning if she is really tahorah, as opposed to that she didn't die because there's edim somewhere. Ut tahorah, what's the va? Velo shel tatala schut. As opposed to a woman who really was guilty, but she had a schut. Velo she, he, what's ut tahorahi? Velo she suvi nuba mazrot balvana. So the, if, as opposed to a woman who, they're still, the women are still gossiping about the affair that she had. We'll deal with that later on. Now, Rabbi Shimon, what's Rabbi Shimon going to do with that? Nehi devav lo darish. He doesn't like the vav of utahora, which is the schut, but vahaika. What's Rav Shimon going to do with the tahora, with the drasha that everybody seems to accept is, as opposed to when a woman has edim dinatayam? And remember, earlier we said that Rav Shimon would not accept edim dinatayam blocking the water. He said nothing would block the water because then you slander the women who don't explode. Here we say it differently. We say lo shchicha. He said that Rabbi Shimon would agree in principle with the notion that if there are edim somewhere to the fact that she was tmeah, the water would not work, but that's such a rare occurrence that the slander probability is low, meaning that we're not concerned that people are going to start saying, yeah, she really did have the affair, but there's witnesses somewhere, because that's such a rare thing, people would not consider it, as opposed to schut, which all of Am Yisrael has schut. Okay. The next half of Mishnah Gimel, the second half of Mishnah Gimel, Ketzad Osela, what's the process, the procedure? Molicha leBeitin Shiboto Makom, he goes to his local Beitin with her, and says what he says, Mosrim lo shnei tamidei chachamim, they give a point, two scholars, Shem Evoa leAbaderach, to escort him to Yerushalayim, because we're concerned that he should not have relations with her. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, the husband is trusted, he can walk alone with his wife to Yerushalayim and say, I didn't have relations. Now, the first thing the Gemara comments on is the Tanakama's take that there are two, and not only two, two scholars given. Treviyu Hatlata, that's three people. That's he and the two others. Lema Messiah Le Larav, that seems to support Rav's interpretation of the Mishnah in the last parak of Kiddushin. Lo Shanu, when the Mishnah said that a woman is allowed to be alone with two men, Rav commenting on that said, Lo Shanu El Abayir, that's only true in the city. Abaderach, but out on the road, in the rural area where there aren't people around, Adika Shlosha, you need three. Why? Let's say one guy has to go off of the road to use the bathroom. So that if you have in the city, you have two men, so that you're in the city, open a door, it's not a big deal. If you're out on a road in a rural area and there's two men with the woman, one of the men has to go off to use the bathroom. Now one man is alone with this woman who is an erva to him. That's Rav's take. So therefore we see that's why we have two scholars escort him. So lo, hacha hainu, time I hear it's a different reason. We want these witnesses to be we want these two men to be witnesses. We need two, because in case the husband does have relations with her, the entire process is stopped. But notice that the Beit Din doesn't just appoint two, it appoints two scholars, not a regular guy. Why? That seems to support another ruling of Rav. When do we say that two men may be alone with a woman? That's if these are two men that about whom there are no suspicions as to their sexual restraints. About Prutzin, people who are not restrained sexually, even if you have a lot of them, it doesn't help. There's a story about 10 men who took a woman, and they weren't ashamed in front of each other. And right, so Rav, who said that that even in the city, when we say that two men may be with a woman, that's if two men are kosher people, then we're not afraid that it's going to lead to something. They'd be embarrassed in front of each other, right? But the reason here is not to support Rav's ruling. Why do we need two? Because we want them to be able to apply proper warning if the husband is about to do something to his wife, to explain what the consequences will be and to stop him. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said that a husband is trusted about his wife. Right? Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bala Neman mi Kal v'chomer. So there's a Kal v'chomer for this. Umani, they should be kare. Think about this. A husband is trusted to be alone with his wife when she's in Nida, even though the consequences of that are karet. Bala Neman aleham. Sota, Shiba Lavla, Kol Shekhan. Sota, which is simply a violation of a lav to have relations with her, certainly should be believed. Rabbanan, so how do the Rabbanan answer that? After all, we all agree that a man and a woman can be alone in the privacy of their house when she's usurdim as a nida. So he anotanet, that's the exact reason. Nida the karit chamir olayim heiman. Since nida is so serious, he'll be very careful and he'll be trusted. Sota the lav, sota is, it's a lav. Lo chamir olay, it's not so serious to him. Veloma heiman. We find this in many cases where the more serious an issur is, the less we're concerned somebody will violate it, and therefore the more trusted they are. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, we call the chomer maitila. Is it true that Rabbi Yehuda really thought that a husband is believed based on Kal v'chomer logic? After all, Rabbi Yehuda mikrai maitila. We have another record where he quotes a pasuk to support it. Tanya, ve'via isha ishto ala kohen. The pasuk says that a man brings his wife. And what do Chazal say? Mina Torah ish mevia ishto mi doraita. The man brings his wife alone. He alone brings her. But the Chachamim said, he should have two escorts, etc. As we saw, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Balan Aman Alevi Kavachomer. Rabbi Yossi now says what we heard Rabbi Yehuda saying earlier. Ma, Nida Shibikareit, Balan Aman Aleha, Sadat Shibulavla, Kol Shekain. So Amrulo, what was the answer to Rabbi Yossi in his Kavachomer? Lo, Imamarta Benida Shekain Yishla Heter. You know why a husband is believed about his wife who's Anita? Because in a week, in 12 days, 15 days, whatever, it should be mutterum. Thomas Sota Shen Laheter, he stands possibly the last time he'll ever be able to be alone with his wife. So, he won't be believed. Famous pasuk, we saw this at the end of Nedarim, that, forbidden water, stolen waters are more delightful. In other words, the fact that, his wife is usher to him may raise the issue. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, I mean, Torah ish meviat ishto ala kohen, shnemar vevi isha at ishto. Right? So, Rabbi Yehuda, in this version, quotes the pasuk. So, the answer is, Amaru kavachomer. The answer is, originally, he said the kavachomer, Bereisha. Upachu, and they challenged it with their challenge of saying, because it's less severe, we're afraid he's going to violate it, plus the Maim Genuvim. So therefore, he reverted to the pasuk. So Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama. Parenthetically, in the second bright, Rabbi Yehuda is the same as the Tanakama. They're both quoting the pasuk. So Ikebenayu of Alamru. Yeah, the difference is that he doesn't hold that there was a decree put by the Rabbanan of saying, in spite of the fact that Midoraita he can bring his wife, nonetheless, we're going to require him to be escorted by two. He did not accept that. But either way, Rabbi Yehuda, and we now see Rabbi Yossi, disputed and dissented against the ruling that you have to have escorts, and said either because of the Kal v'chomer or because of the simple meaning of the pasuk, the man brings his wife alone. The Rabbanan said, no, you have to have an escort because in spite of the fact that midoraita you're right, nonetheless there's a concern, both because of the fact that there's potentially no heter for this woman to her husband, and also because Mayim Gnuvim Yumtaku. Okay, we will pick up in Yirtz Hashem now at Mishnah Dalad, which will give us more of the description, and from here on, pretty much till the end of the parak, we're going to be dealing with all sorts of agadic implications of the halachic process of the sota and focusing in on the sugya of midah keneged midah, poetic justice. Everyone should have a wonderful day.